I tried to go to bed early, and I took a book with me, Whispers of the Gods, Tales from Baseball's Golden Age, told by the men who played it, by Peter Golenbach. And it was so much fun to go through it. It was like I could visit with all these baseball greats that are in the book. Peter really enjoyed this, and it's nice to have you on the broadcast. Peter has written more than 60 books, including 10 New York Times bestsellers, and he's written about the Yankees, the Bronx Zoo, pretty famous book, and also a book called Wrigleyville. Have you been there lately, Peter? It's changed a little bit.
I haven't been there lately, but I tell you, when I was there, it was magical.
Yeah.
It was just a fabulous place to be to see a ball game. Just wonderful.
Well, let's talk.
Harry Carey had me on the day that I went to the ballpark. And spending a game with Harry Carey was truly memorable.
I'll bet. Well, wait till you see the neighborhood now. You got to come back. Yeah, right. Have you spent much time? I was going through the book, and we'll talk about Sano and Banks.
Right.
What about the White Sox? I know Bill Veeck is mentioned in connection with Satchel Paige, right?
That's exactly right. Veeck had Satchel Paige with the 48 Cleveland Indians. You know about Veeck. In 1939, he was going to buy the Philadelphia Phillies, and he was going to take the 15 best Negro League ballplayers and put them on the Phillies. And unfortunately, people in the baseball administration found out that that's what he was going to do. Kennesaw Mountain Landis was the commissioner. He was a terribly racist person who, during his entire run as commissioner, he got there in 1920 after the Black Sox scandal, and he was there until he died in 1944. And during that entire time, he made sure that not one African-American player would ever play in Major League Baseball. He was the reason. So Veeck was going to, in 1939, buy the Phillies and fill the team with the stars, Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson, and all those great players, and they stopped him. They sold the team quickly to somebody else for less money, and they stopped him cold.
Well, he was really something. I mean, Bill Veeck, an innovator, and talk about Wrigleyville. I mean, that's the man responsible. Well, it was his father, right, who was responsible for the bleacher setting, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. His father. Yep.
And
the ivy on the wall.
The ivy, right? Jim Brosnan played for the Cubs way back.
He did.
Way back when. And your chapter on him was really interesting, your discussion with him, because after I read that, I thought, well, okay, despite Jack Brickhouse's optimism, there was no way most Cub teams before the 1980s were ever going to win anything because they had a terrible farm system and really no plan of instruction to follow, no Cubs way to teach young players. That's pretty much what Brosnan said, right?
Well, Brosnan was a very intellectual guy. They called him the professor. He wore glasses when he pitched. And I just found the guy to be fascinating. And he was analytical. And, I'm sure Cubs fans for years, wondered, why with Banks and with these other players, why don't we, get to the World Series? And it's because their farm system was terrible. They Branch Rickey started the farm system with the St. Louis Cardinals, who won all these pennants, and then he went to the Brooklyn Dodgers, and they won all these pennants. Meanwhile, the Cubs' farm system was barren.
Yeah, you don't have to remind us. We're talking with author Peter Golenbach, who's written many New York Times bestsellers, so many on baseball, like Dynasty of the New York Yankees and Wrigleyville, a magical history tour of the Chicago Cubs. The new book is Whispers of the Gods, Conversations with Legendary Players of the Past.
Peter, one of those legendary players, Ted Williams, that name kind of jumped out at me because the reputation was he had no love for writers. So I'm wondering what it was like to sit down with Ted Williams and talk to him, and what did he have to say?
Well, I'm sitting at my desk and I'm working, and the phone rings, and I pick it up, and he goes, and I hear, this is what I hear, "Go on back. It's Ted." I says, "Oh, hi, Ted. How are you?" He says, I want you to come over to my house. Joe Jackson belongs in the Hall of Fame, and I want you to come over, and I'll tell you why. I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida. He's in Ocala, Florida, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hours away. I said, Ted, be over as soon as I can. So I hung up the phone, got in the car, drove over to Ted's house. So he proceeds on tape. I've got this whole conversation on tape. I have 250 to 300 tapes of all of these conversations I've had over the last 50 years. And he proceeds to tell me that, in his opinion, Joe Jackson was the greatest hitter who ever lived, and he belongs in the Hall of Fame. And he's telling me that he had his own swing was modeled after Joe Jackson's swing. And yes, Joe Jackson, yes, he took money for the Black Sox scandal, but in fact, he tried to give it back, and nobody would take it. And so he unfairly was part of the eight Black Sox who were banned from baseball. So, in the middle of the conversation, Ted says to me, "We got to call Bob Feller. Bob Feller will tell you the same thing." So, we call Bob Feller, and Ted goes, "Bob, it's Ted. Tell this guy that Joe Jackson belongs in the Hall of Fame." So, Bob Feller says, "Yes, Joe Jackson does belong in the Hall of Fame." And Ted says, "Thank you, Bob." And he hangs up.
It sounds like Ted may have been a little intimidating, just a tad. Oh. I loved your chapter with Ron Santo. And I don't know that many people realize he, as a very young kid, was ready to quit baseball, wasn't he?
He certainly was. He certainly was. The Cubs lowballed him on his signing bonus. Really paid him almost nothing. Other clubs had wanted to pay him more, but Santo was a very loyal guy. And there was somebody in his community who had been very, very kind to him and you know, watched him and followed him. And Santo wanted to go with him. And he was with the Cubs. And so, you know, for taking very little money, he went to the Chicago Cubs organization. Santo was a very, very interesting guy. I went to the Cubs fantasy camp in Arizona 1 year because it was an opportunity to interview, you know, five or six of these guys who were all there together. And we're sitting having lunch, and he's sitting across from me at the table. And somebody asked me about Billy Martin. Billy and I wrote his autobiography, Number One, and I had written a biography of Billy. And so he wanted to know something about Billy. And I said, you know, well, Billy and I, we spent a whole year together, and he never took a single drink, and he was a really good guy. At which point, Ron Santo reaches over the table and grabs me by the throat. Because apparently Ron Santo and Billy Martin had something. Something happened where the two of them didn't like each other at all. And it took two of the other players to pull Santo off of me.
Yeah, he was a fiery guy. And that story you told about Ron ready to quit baseball until I think his wife at the time talked him out of it and some other people. But that was when the Cubs got Don Zimmer, and so that promise made to Santo to start at third base was not followed through, and he was going to be sent down to the minors. That's what happened, right?
That's exactly right. And Ron, oh, I love that guy. He was just fabulous. But he had a lot of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And they had made him a promise. And he was one of those people, if you shake hands on something, you do it. You mm-hmm. don't go back on it. And they went back on their word, and he was mm-hmm. you know, very, very angry about it.
Oh, my God!
let me give you 30 seconds here to tell me your take on Ernie Banks, because according to the book, he pretty much avoided talking about anything meaningful, but he would get down on himself a lot. Is that pretty much it?
Well, it was funny because when I did Wrigleyville and I interviewed so many of Ernie's teammates about him, they were very reluctant to really talk about him. You know, this Let's Play 2, he always had sort of this sunny disposition. But apparently he was something of a loner.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't close to almost anybody on that Cubs team. As fabulous as a player he was, I mean, I think he's hit more home runs than any other shortstop in baseball history. It was weird. I mean, I had thought going in that he'd be one of the most popular teammates of all the players, but somehow it didn't turn out that way.
Interesting, and you can read all about it in the book by Peter Golenbach, Whispers of the Gods, Tales from Baseball's Golden Age, Told by the Men Who Played It. Such a great read. Thanks for the time this morning, Peter.
Well, thanks for having me, Bob. I really, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.